The Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly.
Here's Fort Smith. Broadcasting live from the Toyota Studios.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
On your favorite Arkansas sports talk station.
Oh, man. Radio?
Yes, talk radio.
It's so boring, man.
Okay.
Streaming live from
HitThatLine.com.
I got that wood.
This.
Y'all better put him in the Heisman.
Is.
Smile.
The Morning Rush.
In my phone, cause I wanna get it on till I die. In my phone, cause I wanna get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Get it on till I die. Y'all remember me. Y'all remember me.
With John Neighbors.
I refuse to wear pants.
Tommy Kraft.
Tavita, Tualaka Ogno, Tualapa Opano, Moses Etimo, Bahi Ono, Bihokeo, Balai Tutuo. I think I nailed it.
And Nick Mason.
I'm going to invite all my closest friends to play golf, and Tommy Kraft and John Neighbors are not part of that group.
The Morning Rush starts right now.
And welcome into the Morning Rush here on this beautiful day in the great state of Arkansas. I'm John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, all in studio with you today. Thank you for making us a part of your day today. Tyler Wilson will also be joining us here in just a little bit. We're going to have a full show for you today. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be joining us around 7:45. Richard Davenport will also be joining us around 8:15. We're going to play Is It Ever Okay on this Thursday. That'll be happening at 7 a.m. And right now, I am watching Nick Mason have put together some weapons to try to kill a big spider that he saw, and he can't find after he tried to kill it and missed so terribly that the spider is probably laughing at him right now and said that was one of the worst attempts I've ever seen of someone trying to kill a spider.
That's why he's a walk-on spider killer.
Hey,
but he's like standing up, killer. Tommy. He's got the air compression thing. Like, what are you going to do with that? Like, what is that going to do?
I mean, shoot, if it gets close to me, I'm going to blow it over there towards you.
We'll see how that goes.
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
Then kill it if it's over there. Well, if you can see it.
I mean,
the big,
I got a bad,
bad
angle.
Tough
I got a bad
Mason,
angle.
College athlete is afraid of a spider.
I got a bad angle.
Are you afraid of spiders? You just don't want spiders.
Oh, no. So, and you guys won't understand this because you don't have long hair. So, like, no.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I know what you're going to
say.
There
are times where I'll move and, like, my hair will be, like, stuck or it'll be on me or something. And I'll look and I'll think it's something on me. So, my fear is always that I'll have five spiders just hanging out and I'll just think it's my dreads and just be like, it's just my dreads. And it's five spiders.
Has a black widow in there. Yeah.
Right. But okay. No, I'm not really afraid of anything. If it's my time to go, it's my time to go.
It's a spider, so hopefully it doesn't kill you. I don't think it's that type of spider. But we'll keep you updated, though, on Nick and his hunt for the spider and let you know as soon as he is either successful or he fails in his attempt to kill said spider. But we'll definitely keep you updated on that. I want to start today with a little bit on the football side of things. Chad Morris went on the Jim Rome show yesterday. Now, of course, Chad Morris, it's a slow period for a lot of these coaches. They make different appearances on different radio shows and whatnot. And I thought that some of the answers, I mean, we have heard some of the questions and the answers that were passed along, but I thought it was very interesting in what Chad Morris talked about with culture and how you have to balance the culture and talent and what means more to the success. Because let's be honest, if you don't have talent, if you don't have good players, you're not going to be a good football team. Even if you have the best coach in the world, even if you have the best ideas, the best culture, the best everything, odds are you're not going to win a national championship if you don't have the talent to go along with it. However, talent really can only go so far if you don't have a good culture involved. If you don't have a program that's got a healthy locker room inside of it, you're not going to go very far with that. But when Jim Rome asked Chad Morris about balancing that out and which is more important, he had this to say.
I think that you have to address the culture issues and how you do things and the accountability and the work ethic and the energy that it provides that it's going to take to be consistent in your daily approach. We first got to SMU. We were just battling and just daily wins. You know, we knew we were getting better. But we couldn't see the end result on the scoreboard, but we knew we were feeling it inside our own building. And so it was just about creating daily wins. What can we do today, whether that's
It's taking good notes in a meeting, whether that's, you know, staying off the ground and inside drill. And we had to celebrate those things, Jim. And so much of that, and bringing in the caliber of players that fit what we do and how we do things. You know, we all know that great players make you great coaches, but you also have to have a culture that everybody has to abide by within the program, and that's equally as important.
Now, he says it is equally as important to have both, which I think is a good coach's answer. But it all comes down to this, and there's a few questions and a few discussion points I want to break down from this. But it's a matter of this, and I want your opinion, Tommy and Nick, because you both can come from different perspectives. You can't win without talent and a good culture, but can you win with a good culture with not that great talent?
Not in this league. Yeah. And now, here's the thing about a good culture, though. If you're a head coach, you just want to survive for as long as possible, and you don't want DWI is the reason you get fired. Like, you don't want to look up and people to say, well, you got guys and they're not graduating and they're getting in trouble and you know, and they're transferring out and all those things. You don't want that to be the reason why you're fired. And those are also things that you can control. You can control how guys are acting in the locker room. You can control what type of kid that you recruit. It's very difficult to control, though. Hey, like, I've seen this kid do XYZ in high school and then bring him to the next level and control exactly the impact he has on your program. It's difficult to do that, but I see where he's coming from. But no, for sure, no, you cannot win. Like, if you just have a great culture and everything is the right way and guys are going to want to fight for the guy next to him, but you don't have talent, then no, you will eventually be fired. You may buy yourself another year or two because you'll be a likable guy, but at the end of the day, to win games, you need talent. Point to me the last person that was able to win on any level without talent. Now, they may not have as much as the man next to them, but all in all, guys that consistently don't have talent end up getting fired.
I mean, the answer is you want both, right?
Maybe, right.
You know, if you can't have one or the other, I think you always take the talent. But you can't have a horrible culture with problems, like Nick said, where you're constantly having to deal with off-the-field distractions, issues, arrests, problems, because that ultimately will, you know, create distractions that cause losses as well. So both will cause you to lose. One will cause you to lose faster, I guess, is how I would see it. In some leagues, at SMU, culture probably could produce you another win or two or three, just based on doing things right, being organized, being, executing better than the other team because the culture created that kind of environment. In the Southeastern Conference, everybody that wins executes well because they have the talent to do that. So I think it does matter what league you're in, and the talent level in this Southeastern Conference, you know, it's close enough on some Saturdays that, you know, that culture does make the difference, but talent's still the ultimate factor.
So do you believe, though, that it's an even balance, or is it maybe 80-20? Because, I mean, obviously you want to say it's important. I get that. But, like, where is the balance there? How do you equate the amount of, or if you want to put a percentage on it, you can, of what needs to be talent and what needs to be a good culture for success?
Well, Nick, I guess you're trying to recruit. When you're recruiting both, right?
Yeah.
You're looking for a guy with talent that fits your culture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing, is when Chad Morris and his staff are out looking for kids, they're looking for not only kids, but when he's looking to hire coaches that fit the culture, kids that fit the culture. So, you know, it's not just can you run fast enough, are you strong enough, are you tall enough, do you have the physical tools and weapons to fit our system, do you have the talent? Nick, I think you're recruiting to both sides of the equation here when you're out looking for the next kids to join your next recruiting class.
And you are, but let's take it a step further and let's look at it like this. If there's a kid and he's a bit of a character issue, but he's leading the country in touchdown passes, or he's leading the country in receiving yards or rushing yards, but he has a bit of a character issue, but you think you can get him in and get his grades right, you're going to take him, or you're going to take the kid that he can't quite play in the SEC. He needs to really be in the Sun Belt, but he has all A's, and he's a great Samaritan, and he's in all these clubs, and he helps the homeless, and he's going to be a great addition in the locker room. Which guy are you taking?
The talented one. Every time.
10 times out of 10.
Unless you're Rhett Bielema, which I feel like there was a lot of times there where he could have. He could, and again, we can't get into specific examples, but just by the things he talked about, it makes you wonder that if there were some talented guys out there, he may have passed on and went for the guys that were a great locker room addition.
Right, but like that's what he says. But once again, though, it came down to that other guy he passed on. He didn't think that that kid was going to win him more games. And that's what it is. Coaches have to look at, okay, is this problem going to be worth it? Is this guy going to move the needle himself? And I'll say this, if you're secure in your job, you'll pass over those guys. Because if you're secure in your job and this kid isn't going to win you necessarily any more games, it's like, why do I even want to deal with the headache if this guy isn't going to move the needle? And if you look at Brett's recruiting classes, I mean, he wasn't getting guys that were going to get in here and move the needle. And I don't think that it was because of a culture or because of the academics. Even like the kid at Fayetteville, they never thought he was even going to qualify.
Akil Byers, yeah.
Right. And so it's one of those, like, you can spin it however you want to. It just depends on if you like Brett or if you dislike Brett, if you agree with the decision or if you don't agree with it. But he never thought he was going to qualify. So, of course, I think he told Dudley or told whoever, because I've heard those guys kind of talking about it and saying there may have been some character issues at that point. And, yeah, it's easy to say if I see a kid is not going to qualify or I think he's not going to qualify, it's very easy for me to say, like, yeah, well, that kid kind of has character issues and I'm going to stay away from him. And you know, and from looking at what Brett Bielema has done, I don't know if he's the best judge of talent. And so for some of these guys that he passed up on, he may have not thought that they were that good. And now they may have turned out to be a lot better, but he's looking at it like, okay, it's very, very close between these two guys. I'm going to take the guy that does not have character issues. And I'll say that across the country, if it's very close between two guys and one guy's an idiot and the other guy is not and he's a good kid, you're going to take the guy that's a good kid. But you take too many of those good kids and not enough of the talented guys, and, you know, on Saturday and game day, you'll be working on the SEC Network.
I don't know. Of course, you brought up the Akil Byers situation and that. Again, that could be something that's completely legitimate, but you felt like that there were times where Brett Bielema kept saying you recruit your own problems, which I agree with. And again, you don't want to have a bunch of kids that are coming in that are just going to be these horrible people that are going to cause all types of problems. But at the same time, though, if a player is good enough it's not even have to say high risk, but just a risk itself, where you know what, you may have to really help him along in his grades, or maybe you really have to watch him. You really have to have somebody on him all the time to make sure that he's doing the things he's supposed to be doing, but yet he can play football as good as anybody. You got to take those risks. I just think that's part. I mean, look at even Alabama. They've had some character guys that are just like, man, these guys are pretty messed up. But guess what? If you're Reuben Foster and you're making tackles and you're doing, again, I'm not condoning, I'm not saying you should take anybody that's doing anything horrible. But if it's a little bit of a risk that you have to take, I feel like if you just handle it the right way, it's worth the risk.
Well, we'll talk with Tyler. He'll be on with us in the next segment or so. And I want to talk about culture, because he's a great one to ask for this reason.
Yeah.
In 2011, they had a very talented team that went to the Cotton Bowl, beat Kansas State, won a lot of games, was highly ranked in the country. And then the head coach leaves and the culture changed, right?
Mm-hmm.
The entire culture of that program changed, and we saw the net effect on wins. And I think a lot of people believe if Bobby Petrino had been there, even with the same roster, the win total for 2012 would have been, in some people's estimate, what was it, 4 wins in 2012?
Yes.
Some people believe it would have been 8 or 9.
Or like me, I believe it would have been 10.
Okay, so you believe it would have been at least double.
Yeah.
So you put a high value on culture, right?
Yeah, that's right.
What changed more than anything? I believe, in listening to Tyler and people that were within the four walls of that program, the culture changed day one when Bobby Petrino was no longer there. So I don't want to undervalue culture as well, and because isn't discipline part of culture? You know, what was one of the first things we saw from that video that Chad Morris did when he walked into the room for that first team meeting that they videoed and everybody, all of us have gotten to see?
He had everybody sit up and
sit up straight, put your hands on your lap, put your drinks down, put your phones down. You know, he called the meeting to order. He wants you to be disciplined. He wants you to show a little bit of respect for yourself and your teammates and for him. He demanded that.
Yeah.
He set a new level of expectation. You're not going to slouch in your seat. You're not going to be looking at your phone while I'm talking. New level, new culture came into the room immediately.
Yep, and we'll see how much of a change that'll make. And I also want to get into that, too, and we'll get Tyler's opinion on it as well on the other side of the break. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Call into John and Tommy and get your voice heard. 877-377-6963. This is The Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into The Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson, all bringing you to the show today. Been talking a lot about culture and talent in a football program and how important it is to be successful, which I think we all agree that both of them are important, but it's a matter of the balancing out. You can't win without talent, but you can't really win with that talent if you don't have a good culture. And if you're just joining us as well, Chad Morris went on Jim Rome's show yesterday and was asked this question about talent versus culture.
I think that you have to address the culture issues and how you do things and the accountability and the work ethic and the energy that it provides that it's going to take to be consistent in your daily approach. We first got to SMU. We were just battling and just daily wins. You know, we knew we were getting better, but we couldn't see the end result on the scoreboard. But we knew we were feeling it inside our own building. And so it was just about creating daily wins. What can we do today, whether that's taking good notes in a meeting, whether that's, you know, staying off the ground and inside drill. And we had to celebrate those things, Jim. And so much of that and bringing in the caliber of players that fit what we do and how we do things. You know, we all know that great players make you great coaches, but you also have to have a culture that everybody has to abide by within the program, and that's equally as important.
So I want to bring in Tyler Wilson, former Razorback quarterback, to speak on this subject because it is a guy, as Tommy mentioned in the previous segment, that probably knows a little bit about culture change and the difference that it can have in the locker room. So, Tyler, what do you make of those comments that Chad Morris has stated? And also, how important is culture? Because talent is important too, but if you don't have a good culture, I don't think you're going to be very successful no matter who you have on the team.
That's right, and you can watch Alabama football clips and highlights all day long and what the message that they're sending out to high school kids, it isn't always about football. And that's really, really interesting that the elite programs understand one thing, and that's it is obviously you got to get players, but it's how you train those players, how you tweak their mind, the avenue of which you create the law of the jungle. And I know that's kind of a funny sounding deal, but you know, a lot of people equate that same deal as it's the law of the jungle, how things roll on a day-to-day basis and the expectations daily when you walk into the room. And you know, it sounds so small, but there's little bitty things over time that all add up. And you know, the expectation that the senior has for, you know, the freshman in the room and the coach has for the assistant coach, and the assistant coach has for, you know, the graduate assistant, and I mean, and for that matter, the athletic director has, you know, for everybody involved in the program. And I think that's Mark Richt used to talk about it all the time, the Bulldog way, right? And obviously Kirby Smart's taken that, and they've still embraced that beyond Mark Richt. And that's all speaking about culture. It's not just Chad Morris here on Jim Rome talking about it. Everybody believes in it. Some execute it much better than others, just as an X and O.
Let's go to the phone lines, 877-377-6963. Robert is in Fort Smith wanting to get in on this topic. What's going on, Robert?
Hey guys. Real quick, you know, you guys were talking about certain players and having problems like Alabama. Well, look at Deshaun Watson. If he wasn't Deshaun Watson and so good, he wouldn't have been playing. But, like you said, if you can win, you act up a little bit, you know, you're going to get your hands slapped, but you're still going to play. You know, and that's just the way that's going to be because the coaches, you got to win.
Well, yeah, and I think you're going to protect your most talented players more than anybody. I think that's been evident everywhere, and nobody likes to hear that. And nobody wants to say, okay, well, if the star quarterback does one thing and then the walk-on player does the exact same thing, I mean, let's be honest. Are they going to probably receive the same type of punishment?
No.
No, they're not going to. But so you have to have also a balance in that as well. At least, again, I don't think anyone wants to hear that, but that is the truth.
And sometimes to correct a culture, you have to get guys out of here. Mm-hmm. You have to kick guys out of school. You have to get them off the team because what the coaches don't know, how players act on the field or how players act in the classroom, that's not their true, like, that's not how they truly want to act. How they act in the locker rooms, back at the dorm or off campus, at parties, at events, with their teammates, that's that true guy. And that's how, you know, how that guy really is. And if you do have cancers, those guys can easily get a bunch of other guys distracted. And then if you start to lose, it's very easy for those cancers in the locker room to distract the rest of the team and kind of start spreading that, hey, Brett Bielema doesn't need to be here. He doesn't know what he's doing. Or, hey, the position coach, he doesn't know what he's doing, or, hey, we need to transfer. And that's why you do see, like, guys transferring together or those type of things happening.
Yeah. And I think we can all relate because at some level, whether it's a locker room or whether it's the break room, this all comes back to, I mean, we all work in certain cultures, right? I mean, there's a culture in every work environment. So I think everyone listening can relate to this at some level because there's a culture in every house, you know, and the way your family runs versus the way my family household operates versus the one next door. I think we all can adapt and relate to this conversation at some level because whether it's work or home, there's a certain culture because I think there's a certain it comes back to two words to me, expectations and accountability, and kind of what level there are of both. Create is kind of the defining factors, Tyler, for that mm-hmm. culture.
You know, and everybody's been around the guy that everything that's said in a meeting, there's the guy at the end of the table that maybe he rolls his eyes or there's the snicker or there's something that you don't feel like he's in, right? And then there's the, you know, there's just every idea, there's question. And you can't have that. There's going to be those guys, but that's the culture that you want to try to avoid. You got to have everybody. And there'll always be a couple of those guys, but you got to avoid those guys affecting the guys that make the biggest impact. And you know, people always talk about. I remember being in high school, which not that I want to get too off on a tangent on this because it is high school athletics, but in the same breath, I think a lot of the foundations that are built with athletes start there. And I can't think of a better place in the country than the place where I went to school in terms of talking about culture, because they've got it figured out. They've got it figured out more so than when I was in college, and even more so than when I was in NFL. They get it, and I think it's almost such a community that's so green, and they don't know anything else, and they're not distracted by a lot of the ancillary problems that a lot of these other communities have because it's so sheltered that you're 100% rowing in the same direction with everybody. And you know, I know Rick Jones does a wonderful job of that. And one of the reasons why I think they've been so successful, but it's the community as much as it is the, you brought it back to the households. You got a lot of households in that community that are all rowing in the same direction that change and convince the minds and the attitudes of the kids when they go to school every day. And, you know, that is the trick. And talent, yes, that's a part of it. But, you know, what the trick, I think, in college is now they don't have the parents rowing in the same direction anymore. now, for the first time, they're by themselves in school and making their own decisions to row in the same direction. And, you know, that's instrumental that the head football coach is able to convince the kids to get up and row in the same direction that I'm talking about every morning. And then quietly in the background, you've got mom and dad answering the phone with distance, you know, hopefully supporting the things that they're hearing from their kids. That's the trick, I think, in college versus high school. But nonetheless, I think it's a wonderful topic to talk about this morning.
And Tyler, we can end on this as we're up against the break. But do you think, though, that if a good culture is established with Chad Morris, just in this first year, even though we don't think that there's a whole lot of talent on the team, I mean, do you think that maybe that there is some hidden talent or some guys that maybe weren't brought to their full potential because of the culture, the bad culture that was there? Just all they needed was a good culture to be able to be successful.
Yeah, I think when you're talking about culture, I think it's really difficult to translate that to wins in year one, but because of some things that he said there just in that interview. He said, we're working on daily wins, and we're working on daily wins for culture. And that, to me, told me, guys, that we're not, our expectation isn't necessarily on the scoreboard right now, but it is changing the way we go about business and the way that our players think. And, you know, that's instrumental. I still think they can win, you know, six ball games and get to a bowl game, and that's the creation of the culture. Is our expectation is to go to a bowl game every single year in the worst situation. And you know, that's the minor wins that he's talking about on a day-to-day basis, but that's taking notes in a meeting, it's picking up your trash in the locker, all those little things that create, you know, I think the difference between being successful and unsuccessful.
And some coaches, whenever they first get to a school, they like to set a tone.
Oh, yeah.
And they like to look at a couple of guys, once again, that they may be in the two deep, but they're never going to really move the needle for you. They're not going to win you football games. And if those guys act out, coaches like to get those guys out their first or second year, because this is a freebie year. This year, if Chad Morris, anything other than him winning two or three games, but if he wins four or five games, he has to kick some people out to get his culture right, it's okay, because he's given a pass for this year. And I think that's kind of what he's getting at as well. And nobody is going to be upset if he's kicking those guys out of school, because regardless of what happens this year, him changing the culture around, it's not like he's going to change it around and they're going to get to 9 or 10 wins.
Right. Yeah, right.
And go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to say, and we're going to talk about that as the show goes on too, because we'll bring this back up, because it's definitely something that we can continue to break down a little bit, and we'll get into everyone's favorite segment, of course, on the other side. But first, this from Williams Tractor.
Yeah, if you're looking for the power, strength, and speed of a professional zero-turn mower, if that grass is growing, you're tired of that old push mower you got, it's time to stop by Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville. Also, Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers. Check out the Hustler line of residential family of mowers. They start at just $27.99 at Williams Tractor and at Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas. Also, if you are a commercial mower, you're a professional mower, they got a full line of commercial zero-turn mowers as well. Find them all at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas and Rogers today.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
Razorback videos, articles, and podcasts. Find them all at hitthatline.com. This is the Morning Rush.
Welcome back into the Morning Rush. Going to be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette here in just a second. But first, this from Williams Tractor.
Hey, if you need to mow that yard right now, a Hustler residential family of mowers start at $27.99 at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and Berryville. Also pick one up at Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas. If you're a commercial mower, they got a full line of commercial zero-turn mowers at Williams Tractor in Fayetteville and in Berryville. Raptor zero-turn mowers from Hustler gives you the perfectly manicured cut that you're looking for. Get one today at Williams Tractor, Fayetteville and Berryville, and Bobcat of Northwest Arkansas in Rogers today.
Let's go to the phone lines. We're joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, guys, what is happening?
Oh, nothing, just enjoying the nice weather that's finally arrived in the great state of Arkansas. So I'm sure you're enjoying that as well. But we have a lot to get to with you. I want to start with the football side of things. The discussion we've been having all morning this morning has been about culture and talent, because Chad Morris went on Jim Rome's show. I don't know if you were able to hear or listen to any of it, but he was asked about the differences and how important both of them are. Do they equal out and all that? And he was saying, Chad Morris was to Jim Rome, that culture is pretty much everything. Once you establish a culture, then the talent will come along with it, and that's exactly how you will end up having the success of a football program. So what do you think about those remarks and about culture itself and how vital it is to being able to have a successful football program?
Well, it's very big, and, you know, I'll give Chad Morris this. He stayed on message, and he said that from the very beginning, what is it, championship is our culture, or, you know, best. We're just going to be champions in everything we do. And, you know, if your players start believing in that, I think that gives you a little bit of incentive and, you know, an edge in certain things. But it's a smart way to go. They still have some talent to make up on the field. And although these coaches have won some big games at SMU and they've had their success at Clemson, you know, competing week in and week out in the SEC is a different beast than you know, Chad Morris has been used to in the recent past. So we'll see what kind of decision-making they make, you know, in tight games and, you know, special teams, kicking decisions and stuff like that are all, you know, when you reflect on the Brett Bielema era, I think there was a few missteps along the way in terms of in-game calculations and things like that. So we'll see how it goes. But, hey, Chad Morris has been out there. He's a social media guru, and his staff are all over that part of it. And so I admire them for having that mindset.
Hey, I want to get to baseball in just a second, but I want to point out that they were quick to release some information this week about the North End Zone project. Suites and skyboxes are sold, as we know. Loge boxes are sold. Now they're down to like 300 of the club seats, fewer than that. So as far as the sales go on this North End Zone project, they've got to be very happy, Tom, with the way this thing is going along.
I would say so. And administration officials have understandably been very proactive in terms of putting that out there, because I think they've heard the criticism. They've heard what Dave Pryor had to say, and who the additions really cater to, which was, you know, people who could afford that type of thing. So, you know, what's it going to bump attendance up to 75,000 or capacity, I should say, 75 plus? And they want to make sure the people understand that it seems like it was a reasonable idea to do this. And so we'll see how it goes, man. There's some growing interest, I would say, in what Chad Morris is going to offer. And I think they're going to start recruiting and attracting some great receivers and quarterbacks and skill talent here. And if they can keep things going on the defensive side, or excuse me, build up on that side, then maybe they got a chance to be competitive again in the SEC.
Speaking with Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette right now in the Morning Rush. Tom, switching it over to the baseball side of things. Big series against Texas A&M this weekend at home. It's the final home series for the regular season for the Razorbacks. Texas A&M is a good team. I mean, what do you think about their standpoint right now as far as where they're looking at, as far as seeding goes, and going into this matchup against A&M? Never want to say must win to get to a national seed, but it seems like if they don't win the next two series, then getting to a national seed is far from guaranteed.
Exactly. And, you know, what do they have to win? Four of these next games, maybe. I think if they win four, they'd have a reasonable shot at being a top eight seed. If they win five, you know, let's say you really beat A&M and then you go win a series at Georgia, then I would think that there would almost be a lock to be a national seed. And that's the key. You know, I think they stretched their pitching out a little bit down in Hoover last year and then came home and just didn't quite have enough oomph to get past a very motivated Missouri State team in this regional. But, you know, you should be favored to win a home regional. But then, if you can host that super regional and have your pitching set up, I mean, that is the ticket to Omaha. And I think Dave Van Horn and his staff understands that. And it's getting down time now where a team that's got a lot of veterans who want to get back to Omaha need to start delivering.
And it's going to come down to some pitching. I guess good news on Cronin, but not so good news on Keaton McKinney.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course,
after the first start of the year on for McKinney, he felt some heaviness in his arm, and he was down from that point. So it's not like they were counting on a lot from him. You know, having said that, you know, if he was available now, you know, having a guy who could be a Sunday starter for you, who could eat some innings, would be really big. But Cronin may be able to pitch on Sunday. And I believe that if they'd had him last weekend, they would have won the Saturday game because Rindle wouldn't have had to come in on back-to-back days. If he had been up to form, he could have closed LSU out, maybe have a series win under their belt.
Appreciate you joining us, Tom. We'll catch up with you next Monday. Rush.
This Morning Rush podcast brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, drink responsibly. Now back to the podcast.
3. Spitting the most fire takes you'll ever hear all morning long. This is the Morning Rush.
All right, welcome back into the Morning Rush. Appreciate everybody listening in today. John Neighbors, Nick Mason, Tommy Kraft, Tyler Wilson, all joining you today. We're going to be joined by Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette here in about 15 minutes. Though I wanted to bring back up the culture topic that we were discussing with the Razorback football program. And if you're just joining us, Chad Morse went on Jim Rome's show yesterday. And he was asked about the differences of talent and culture and how important one is to the other. Is there a balance? You know, is one just as important, whatever it may be? And Chad Morse essentially said that you got to have a great culture just as much as you do have to have with great talent. And he also attributes that, a lot of it, to the success that he had at SMU in building that program back, especially one that had been down for so long, didn't really win many games before he arrived. He had to establish a good culture first, and then the players started coming in. And it just makes you wonder, at a place like Arkansas and what the current situation they have, obviously their culture is not that good and hasn't been that good, but Chad Moore's coming in, causing a little bit of spark, trying to lay down the foundation. It makes you wonder that maybe if he can do that just in year one, year two, you know, this could be a quick turnaround as long as he gets the right players and enough good players to be able to build on top of that culture and to be able to have success.
You know, Tommy, I didn't know if you want to take it there, but, you know, I think the culture component of a program is so huge. And, you know, I just relate back to my time, not only at Arkansas, but you know, in school. And you know, I think one of the best high school cultures that I know, there's probably two or three programs. You think of the programs that win. They win because of talent, or they win because of culture. And Pulaski Academy, I was really, really, really impressed when I went into a locker room for Pulaski Academy. I thought, man, I'm going to see some players in here. I went into the locker room at halftime. I go, oh, my goodness. Where'd these kids come from? And none of them looked how I thought they'd look. None of them. And then I go to poor old Greenwood High School, and guess what? I'm going, where are the players at? You know, but they find ways to compete with less because the culture is right. And, you know, I kind of talked about that in a previous segment, but, you know, culture is a key component. And, you know, it's tricky. Everybody's got a different method to maybe what their culture is, their ideal culture is, but Chad Morris, obviously, a big believer in it.
You know, it all starts with the head coach, the head of the company, the head of the household. That's where the culture all kind of flows from, right? And I look at the difference between 2011 and 2012, and you've talked about this before on the program, Tyler, that the difference from one day to the next in the change of the culture, from the day Bobby was there to the next day when Bobby wasn't, everybody talked externally from the football program about, oh, it's the same players, same staff, just minus the head coach. This team's going to go on and be just fine. And, you know, we're still preseason, what, top 10? And then, but you knew immediately, guys, internally, this wasn't going to work because guys were, instead of sitting up straight in meetings and paying attention and doing the things they'd been doing, now all of a sudden it was a totally different environment, totally different culture. Guys were behaving differently in meetings. And mm-hmm. you've said before, you knew right away after Bobby Petrino left the program, things were going to come unraveled.
I don't know if I've ever said it publicly. I know I've said it behind closed doors on several occasions, and I think you asked my parents following everything. They were pretty in tune. I was discouraged by the way things were handled immediately following the dismissal of Bobby Petrino, and it wasn't that it was handled bad, but the accountability and the culture changed 180 degrees virtually in less than a 3 to 5 day period. And, you know, just from the way someone walks in the meeting room and the attention and the demand that they have for everybody and the accountability in that room was lost the day Bobby Petrino had left that building. And, you know, I remember the first team meeting without Bobby and our new head coach. And it was, let's go around the room and high five everybody, and the feet go up on the chairs in front of you, and everybody slumps down, and there's just a sigh of relief, and that pressure that created the greatness was gone. And, you know, I felt it immediately. And, you know, I don't know if I've ever said that publicly, but, you know, that speaks to the culture component. And it wasn't like, you know, it was wrong. But if you want to win consistently, then it's wrong, I guess, is the best way I would say.
And I guess the point I was making, the head coach sets the tempo, sets the culture, sets the environment for that. Now, I go back to the video that we saw with Chad Morris in his first team meeting. What was the first thing he asked players to do? Set up straight in your chairs. Put your drink down. Put your phone down. Pay attention. All eyes right up here on me.
All your jewelry. Take all your jewelry. It was one of the things Bobby was real big on. Take all your jewelry out. Take all your jewelry off.
Yeah. I mean, Chad Morris immediately set an expectation, a new bar. Here is what will happen when I walk into the room and address this team. And he spoke about that with us, and I heard him speak about this at a Razorback Club event. That wasn't planned. That was just something. He came in, he saw a guy slouch in his chair, and he said, I addressed it immediately. You know, because he knew that these are important moments to set expectations. So it all flows from that guy that's got the head coach title. And I think that it's very important to see how this, you know, this culture develops at Arkansas here, because it all flows from that guy. And culture is so important because, you know, I'm a believer that if Bobby Petrino had been there, while the team may not have won 10 or 11 games, it certainly won a lot more than four games in 2012. And that's all directly tied back to that culture as well.
Yeah.
Not just play calling, not just his expertise, not just his having hands on everything. Tyler's about the culture of the program would have produced more wins with him being there to keep everything accountable. That was part of the culture.
Mm-hmm. And not to harp just on University of Arkansas, but I mean, you go back into, I've been on really successful teams. I've been in high school programs where I didn't lose a game at the end of the year in my entire career. I never lost. I mean, three state championships. Then you go to college and had ultra success in college, and then some dealing with, you know, the ebb and flow of what happened there that you just described. And then, you know, in the NFL, I was on some really bad teams. Was on the worst team in the NFL my rookie year, where we only won three games. And then transitioned to kind of a middle of the tier team in Tennessee, and then a really good team in Cincinnati. So I've been around the locker room. The culture, again, while we're talking about it, is Chad Morris went on Jim Rome. I don't know if you've got the clip or if we've got time to get to it and some of the things he has to say, but ultimately that's why we're on the culture topic this morning. And you can tell immediately when you walk into a locker room whether the culture's right or if it's wrong.
Well, yeah, and we will play it later in the show too, right when we bring it up, because we do want to get to Tom Murphy. But no, and I agree with a lot of the stuff you guys are saying, and obviously, you know, the examples that we have too. I know that Nick also had a look of maybe not complete disagreement, but just
no. And you know, I respect where both of those guys are coming from, especially Tyler, because he was there. I just disagree with how much it plays into the wins and losses, and maybe not even that. Maybe like if I'm ranking things, then like I would get to three or four more important things than culture in my opinion, because play calling and players, you can have all the culture in the world. Chad Morris can come in, people take off your jewelry. We're gonna walk a fine line. Nobody's getting DWIs. If you don't call the right plays, and if you have two stars, and if you have guys that are gonna be doctors and lawyers at the end of their career instead of going to the combine, it's different.
When I'm talking about culture, I'm not talking about everybody getting good grades. I'm not talking about the trash being clean. I'm not talking about the jewelry. That's part of the culture. I'm talking about what keeps people account, whether they're a believer in the system of what's going on. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. If you don't believe in what's being taught to you, you have no shot. And that's essentially, do I believe in what's going on? Are we bought in? That's the culture. And if you got two or three guys, and you mentioned this, a head coach gets a job, they walk into the arena day one, and guess what? They're going to run the dog out of you. And they're going to find out which of the five players likes and believes what they've got going on. And guess what? Two or three of them are headed out the door. Because real quick, you're going to find out who's a believer in what I'm doing and who's not a believer in what I'm doing. That's what sets the culture. It's not about all the other stuff, even though that's a component of it. And so I know that was something more maybe that you would relate to, because you've seen people come in and try to set the tone. But it's getting the guys that believe and that don't believe, because the play call is the play call. It's who can execute the play call and who believes the play call will work.
It's a fascinating topic again, and we want to continue to talk about that here in just a second. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette will be joining us here as well. But first, this from Gaston.
You know, Mother's Day weekend, this weekend, maybe you want to take Mom for a great weekend experience. Mom loves to fish, so why not go to Gaston's, get one of their experienced guides that's been on the river for 30 or more years there at Gaston's White River Resort, that knows the White River, that can put Mom right on the fish, and the whole family can enjoy a great time together there at Gaston's White River Resort. 870-431-5202. Mom won't have to bait the hook. Mom won't have to get the fish off the hook. Mom won't have to clean the fish. Mom can sit back, relax, and just reel in those trophy browns, those great rainbow fish this weekend at Gaston's White River Resort. And treat her to great meals in their restaurant that overlooks the White River. Also, Mother's Day Sunday brunch in their restaurant. Mom's going to love that as well. So even if you can't go for the weekend, you can still go for Sunday brunch this Sunday at Gaston's. 870-431-5202 to make your reservations for the weekend or just for Sunday brunch this Sunday for Mother's Day. 870-431-5202 for Gaston's White River Resort. Gaston's, a first-class time, every time.
The voice of Razorback fans.
You've been listening to the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast, brought to you by Bud Light. Stock up for game day with Bud Light. Gather your friends, grab some Bud Light, and get ready for the big game. Bud Light, please drink responsibly. And thanks for downloading the Bud Light Morning Rush Podcast.